And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of We Got Net. I'm Ricky Hansen, along with former Milwaukee Bucks forward Paul Mokeski. Coming to you on Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Big Mo, it's good to see you, man. You got on my favorite NBA team's cap. Detroit Pistons.
I only wear stuff where I played, and that's I played there.
There you go. Big Mo was. Hey, y'all played in the Silverdome, right?
Yep, we played in the old Silverdome with the wind and the. I think the record, we might still have it in the NBA for the biggest attendance when the Lakers and Magic Johnson came through when Isaiah was a rookie. I think we had 38 or 42,000 in the Silverdome.
How could you even hit a layup in there? That has to be the worst shooting environment.
Yeah, it was, because there's no background. But also, I mean, wind came through there. Wind would blow through there. I mean, you know, we put the curtain down, and, you know, the other side was where the Lions play, which was by far the worst AstroTurf I've ever seen. It looked like outdoor carpet on cement. I mean,
that's all it was.
I don't know how those guys could play on that, but you know, it was interesting playing in that environment for sure.
And Paul, you know, the Lions, that south end zone, you could open the door and the wind would blow, and guys were kicking field goals.
Up at the top, like. When it got really crowded, they would open that door. Shooting outside.
Yeah. Hey, those were some good days, man. That was the start. I mean, really, that was the start of the resurgent. Isaiah's coming in and eventually leading the Pistons to two NBA titles and making them one of the teams in the late 80s and 90s. But now we got some new rookies coming in, Mo. We just had the NBA draft last week. And first and foremost, I just want to get your thoughts on the draft overall. What surprised you? What didn't surprise you? Just your thoughts in general about last week's draft, which, of course, we all knew Victor Wembanyama was going to be the number one pick going to Portland.
Yeah, I mean, no one had any surprises, really. I mean, more of the surprises were the trades that were happening all during the draft and before the draft. But, you know, Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, that's what they call him, by the way, he was the obvious first pick. Then it was everybody else. And, you know, he's a freak of nature. He's 7'5", 8 foot arm span, runs the floor well, can finish like you saw there. He's in danger of hitting his head on the rim whenever he does that. He can catch and he can pick and roll and catch lobs and finish them. He's got a nice turnaround jump shot. He has three-point NBA range. He can put it on the floor like this. He can bring it down the court like the Joker does. In my opinion, he does not have point guard skills like some people think, but he can rebound and bring the ball down and make the right decision. He's a great shot blocker. I mean, a great shot blocker, great timing, and he can block. He covers a lot of ground, and he can block shots without fouling, and that's huge. So, you know, I think his impact this year, next year as a rookie, or this coming year, I'm kind of excited to see if I can catch him in one of the summer league games here. He'll probably only play two or three, I bet. He turned down going to the Worlds representing France. He's just going to stay here and get ready for summer league and the NBA. I think that's a smart decision, but let's have a little cautious here, people. Let's not go crazy and think he's the next LeBron or the next KD or, you know, the next greatest thing. He could be, but let's have a little patience. I want to rewind it a little bit. Years ago, when the Dallas Mavericks picked a young kid out of Germany named Dirk Nowitzki, and the first year, the whole league and fans were laughing at him and the Dallas Mavericks for picking him. They were laughing at him. He struggled. The physicality hurt him. and he needed to feel his way. He was a young guy, just like Wembanyama. And, you know, you got to have some patience because he's going to have some really good games. And he's going to have some horrible games. I'm talking about 6 points, six rebounds, and a couple blocks, that kind of game. But just have some patience. He's going to play more games than he's ever played in his life. You know, he's used to playing, you know, 30, probably in France, he probably played about 40 games in the league and then, you know, playoff games. He's going to play 82-plus playoffs if the Spurs get there. So have some patience. But, man, he's got a great upside.
But Mo, this is a new day with social media and 24-hour news cycles. How does that factor in? He's got to just tune that out.
Yeah. Let's look at who we met with this weekend, right? Let's look at who we met with. Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, David Robinson. These guys know what the deal is. They can be around him. They can talk him through it. They can comfort him and cover him up like a younger brother. They know. They've been there before. And that was just a great way for the Spurs to do that. They're a great organization. You know, but, you know, he's going to take his bruises and his bumps and, you know, but look at, I mean, just think of him the last 5 days. There was a camera in his face every second, first pitch in his face, going to get some breakfast burritos, tacos in his face. They're in his face, getting off the airplane, getting on the airplane, walking to the airplane, getting to the hotel, walking off the hotel, getting off the hotel. So he's used to this. So it's not going to affect him as much. He just needs to rely on those guys and his teammates and the coaching staff to, when he has a bad game, chill out. It's okay. Guess what? We got one tomorrow night. So you can play good tomorrow night. You know?
Yeah.
So if they can keep him on that path, they'll be fine. You know, the thing that, and I've said this before, I mean, when you look at, like, the first top 10 picks in the NBA, five of the players were 20 years old. Four were 19, one was 21. So, so they're all young kids. Brandon Miller, that Charlotte pick from Alabama, he's the most NBA ready, I think, with his body and his skill. Scoot Henderson, I've seen play. You know, he's a good player. He's not Westbrook. He's not those guys yet. He's not even close. And then you have the two twin Thompson twins. You know, guess who they played against last year? High school players, young players. That's who they played against. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all evens out at the end. The other thing is, after the top 10, when you look at, so there was four college players, two players from France, two overtime elite, the twins, and one G League Ignite.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only, in the top 10, there's only four college players. And then it's interesting because the rest of the lottery, the rest of that, all of them are college players. You know, Duke, Kansas, you know, Connecticut, Michigan. So, you know, it's interesting to me who's picking who. And these players are so young, man. And you know what it's really done? It's ushered in the avenue of the NBA is totally different now. College is not the thing anymore. You go to the G League. You go overseas and play. Yes. You play in this overtime elite in Atlanta. You know, that's the way to go. I mean, I was just curious, Ricky, and you know me. So I looked up the 23 years ago in the 2000 draft, right? 23 years ago in the 2000 NBA draft. All the top 10 players that were picked in the top 10 were all college players. Five in the top lottery, there was five seniors,
wow,
two juniors, five sophomores, two freshmen, and a high school player named Darius Miles. Remember him? He went to the Clippers. So look at that. 20 years later, how much that has changed. It's unbelievable. It's
totally, totally.
I mean, now you got like 19 and 20 year olds. Back then you had, you know, 20, 21, 22 year olds. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And what you said, and we want to welcome everybody in. all our viewers and friends are watching tonight. And don't forget, you can get this show and all our past shows at Believe.com, B-L-E-A-V.com. And Jared Wiley, our good friend, says, right, it's important to have patience. The team needs to make sure he stays healthy with the right routines and coaching. Talking about Wembanyama, but really, you could say that about everybody. I have in the day, Scoot Henderson is going to be better than Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he will, but
you could take this. Okay, write this down. No, he won't. He's not going to be Isaiah Thomas. Sorry, no. Best case scenario, he's Westbrook because he can't shoot. He has no shot. Hopefully, he's working on that, which I think he might be. But you're right, Jared. I mean, patience. People don't know the team that Wembanyama played on in France. They were put together just for him. They only played one game a week. Most teams over there play two, maybe three. They only played one so he could have practice. And the other thing that you don't realize is later in the first round, they picked one of his teammates. Bilal Coulibaly. So he was his teammate in France. He's a 3-point shooter. So, you know, they were preparing him for this. And that only gonna continue because his body, he needs to get bigger and stronger, but mostly stronger. And we, you know, now in the NBA, you know, it's about ability, right? Shooting ability, dribbling ability, passing ability, rebounding ability, defensive ability, and now it's availability, because so many guys are hurt all the time, right? You have to be available to play. Look at Chad Holmgren, right? He hasn't played. He was a top pick last year, 7'4" kid. He hasn't played because he got hurt. So his availability is not very good yet.
And Mo, you know what else stood out to me about this draft? And as a big fella, a 7-footer, I'm sure you probably noticed it too. Some of these big guys, not even drafted. Oscar Tshiebwe from Kentucky.
Undersized. But yeah, he's undersized, though. He's about 6'8", 6'9". Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. Drew Timmy, he's not a 7-footer big guy, though. Sanago, not picked. Edie went back into college probably because of his draft stats.
No one was going to pick him in the first round. That's insanity.
That is absolutely crazy.
That's ridiculous to me. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Because guess who you have to guard? You have to guard the Joker and Embiid. You got to guard these guys, right? They're all big guys. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that I think there is only one true center, the kid from Duke, Derek Lively, who was drafted by OKC, but he was drafted for the Mavericks, and they traded the Mavericks. He's pretty much the only really center that was picked. There's another. A 7-foot kid, but he's like 215 pounds. He's like a forward. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're not out there. Let me, and I put down some of my steals in the draft. Number one is my guy, Grady Dick. Even though he wore the worst suit ever. I'm like, what are you doing? But at 13, Toronto got a 6'8", 6'9", flat-out shooter with quick release. I mean, to me, that's a steal at 13. Golden State at 19 picked up Brandon Brajmicki from Santa Clara, a 6'5 shooter that shot 45% from the three. There's a steal for you. And 25, Marcus Sasser from Houston. I coached against his dad in the old CBA, and he's much like his dad, 6'8", 6'9", strong, tough competitor, really good pickup. Houston picked him up and traded him to the Detroit Pistons, which that would be a good pickup for them. And then the other one that if I'm in the NBA draft room and I'm in the second round, I can't remember who picked him, but at 42, a Serbian kid, just like the Joker, 7 foot, 250 pounds, Tristan Vojkovic.
Vojkovic, yeah.
He was picked 42, it's the same pick that the Joker was. But to me, he has size and skill, and he's 7 foot, and he's really a center. That's the guys, you know, if I'm picking, you know, I don't have like an impact player, then I'm going to pick either a really great shooter, Dick, or a big guy like this kid that's actually 7 foot legitimate guy, or an Edie that dropped out of the draft. Why don't I pick him? You know, a guy that was player of the year in the NCAA. He averaged a double-double. So, you know, but those were my kind of steals or sneaky looks at in the draft that, you know, some people are doing their homework and not going for athleticism and wingspan and potential. He's got potential. Yeah. Potential gets you and me fired, Ricky. That's what potential does.
Our good brother Steve Show is checking in, saying, what's up, guys? Yes, sir, I am feeling better. And Mo, how was your trip? We're going to talk a little bit about Big Mo's trip over the weekend before we get out of here, for sure. We're going to get into that. But, Paul, I think you're right. When you look at the team that Denver, that was a big lineup they had, really, with the Joker. Porter's a big guy, 6'9", 6'10". Gordon, 6'9", 6'10". I mean, it is still a place for that in the NBA.
Are you?
And I've asked you this before. Is this reliance on the three-point shot? Has it gotten out of hand?
Somewhat.
Or does it depend on your personnel?
Yeah, but you pick your personnel a lot of times. I mean, when I was coaching in the G League with Chris Finch, and we're down in RGB for the Houston Rockets organization, we won a championship, and we came in, we lost the last game the second year, and we shot over 50 threes a game. We had players shoot over 23. It was a Rockets experiment, right? But we had Robert Covington. We had Daniels. We had Isaiah Cannon. So we brought in guys that could actually make threes. So that makes sense, you know, but we also had a 7 foot big from Germany that, you know, that was effective. So some teams, the 3-point line is getting a little bit crazy, but it's how you use it. I mean, Denver shoots threes, not as many as a lot, but a lot, you know, but they have a 7 foot center handling the ball, dribble handoffs, pick and pops, you know, initiating the offense sometimes. So does Philadelphia with Embiid. I mean, let's face it, LeBron's 6'9", 280. He's pretty much a center, right? And he has a – so I don't understand why – I mean, there's no team in the West that should be thinking right now that we're going to get to the West Finals and get into the Finals without having someone that can maintain and guard the Joker. That's ridiculous because you're going to have to – you're running up against that. So why don't you find somebody that you can put on your roster that can nullify him? Because in the playoffs – teams were not double-teaming him because he's too good of a passer. So they were just letting him pound down, shoot over littler guys. If you're going to do that, guess what? You're going to lose because the Denver Nuggets are the champs. So that's mind-boggling to me how more teams are thinking that. I mean, if you look at, you know, I like to talk about the rosters later after we talk about free agency and stuff, but the Golden State Warriors picked up Chris Paul, and I think they're going to sign Draymond Green too. So they have a nice, you know, 7'8" guy. They don't have Looney's. They're big at 6'9". They don't have someone that can guard the Joker. You better find somebody, but you've run out of money. So that's a different question.
Julio says, thank you for the great information on NBA draft and your opinion. Thank you, Julio, for tuning in.
That's Coach Cervantes, who is a legend in Mexico. He coached in Mexico. He's a legend. Very good coach and a Spurs guy. Goes to a lot of the games. Hey, Coach, you're going to love watching this kid play if he can stay on the floor and someone doesn't break him in half.
Thank you so much, Coach, for checking us out. Mike Jude, Vic Mo was right on Grady Dick. NBA values shooters now.
Yeah, I mean, and he's. I showed you a picture of when I went to Kansas for the 125 reunion. I'm 7 foot, and he's right here on me. He's a legit 6'9", and shoots with a quick release. I mean, that's the guy that can help your team, right? Spread the floor, and he can also put it on the floor. But those are the guys I'm looking for.
Steve says the Bucks didn't pick any shooters, but I think they're trying to get younger and defend the three. And speaking of Drew Timmy, he signed with the Bucks as a free agent.
Yeah, you know who else signed with the Bucks? I just found out today. Pace Mannion's son, Nico.
Nico, yes, nice. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, there's your shooter right there, Nico Mannion, Pace Mannion's son. Just signed, and well, I'm going to see him play next week. He's coming here for the summer league, so I'm really interested to see Nico play. I mean, I think this could be a great fit for him.
Speaking of fits, Mo, a guy like Drew Timmy, one of the best players in college basketball, he may have been a 2- or 3-time All-American, but I know he's not he doesn't really fit today's NBA. But how does he make a roster?
I mean, he's made his living in college on the low post. He's got great footwork. He has all the tricks under there. However, in college, you're playing against 6'9", 6'10", guys. In the NBA, you're going to be playing against Joel Embiid and guys like that. You know, so I don't know if he can get those shots off underneath in the post. And they're not going to. So he needs to be able to pick. Roll, catch and dish, kick it out, or finish. I think he can do that. He also needs to, if I'm in his camp right now, what I've been doing for the last 2 months is working on his three-point shooting NBA range. Because if he can be a pick-and-pop guy, you know, and shoot threes and be able to put it, because he can't put it on the floor, that will help him. But if not, he's going to struggle because he's only 6'10", and he's not very big. If he can't do that, and he's not a very good defender, so you know if he can pick and pop and shoot NBA threes consistently, then he would have a shot at making the team. Because obviously, his basketball IQ is great, his determination is great. You know, he makes players around him better. All those are good assets, but the other things are what's going to help him make that team.
Yeah. Any other guys in the draft that kind of stood out for you, Mo? And I thought it was interesting that you pointed it out right at the top, how only 4 guys from college programs were top picks. If you were a kid now that was a pro prospect coming out of high school, would you go to one of these overtime elites or G Leagues, or would you still do the college?
I think, you know, if I had sons that are getting ready to go into college, you know, that age, they're seniors in high school or whatever, it would depend on the person. So, and how good they are. If they're good enough to go to Kansas, Kentucky, somewhere like that, and they're really a kid that, you know, wants to be around a team and be part of something and at this point, if you're that good, you can make $1 million a year in college, straight up. You know, and they give you a car now. So, you know, I would, if that was my son like that, I would be pushing him maybe towards one of the high-level colleges with a great coach like Bill Self or someone like that. If my son was very independent and free-thinking and free-wielding and could handle it on his own, I would either pick I would probably pick the G League Ignite that's here in Las Vegas because they have an NBA structure. They have NBA coaches. You went to practice.
Yeah, we went to one of their practices. Yeah.
So that is really NBA. NBA shoot-arounds, NBA practices, NBA games, NBA soon-to-be referees, nice arenas. And those guys can make between $200 and I think Scoot made $1 million last year playing here. So. Yeah. You know, I would lean towards that. Now, if he was like the other Lopez twin, that's kind of freewheeling and you know, out there, and once they explore the world, then maybe I look at a team in Italy or Spain, you know, that they can go to with a great training program and, you know, something like that. The last on my list might be the Overtime Elite, because, you know, I like what they're doing, but you're only playing against high school kids. All those kids are young that they're playing against, and they're playing against the same kids all the time. In the G League, you're playing against men. You're playing against guys that are on NBA rosters or have been or will be. So I would think college or G League, depending on what my son's mental attitude was.
Steve, so Big Mo, you played with the Pistons when they were dirty. Change your hat.
No, I didn't. I wasn't a bad boy.
I'm not going to say Mo was a dirty player, but he wasn't out there making friends.
I wasn't a bad boy. It was before the bad boys. I mean, come on. It was me and Kid Benson and guys like that. And then they traded me for Bill Laimbeer, and that's when they became the bad boys and dirty players.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Mo, you would have fit right in.
I'd have a couple rings. I mean,
you could fit right in with that roster.
I was the same type player as Bill. I could shoot the three. I could rebound, tough, physical. I was probably a little better low post scorer, but he played the mind games that I wouldn't have been at that level with those mind games. So I think I would have fit in perfect. I just would have, you know, played the mind games, but I could do everything that Bill Laimbeer could do for sure. Yeah.
This is my good buddy, Robert T. Green, the CEO of Free Postgame, says the NCAA is going out of business.
Well, they've been talking about that for years. I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Robert, a couple years ago, but now that they've allowed the NIL money to come in, I think they've saved themselves for a while. Because, guys, players go to, you know, I know average players go moving around to schools in the transfer portal that are making $200,000-$300,000. For a season. So, you know, we'll be college employees. The NCAA opened up that Pandora's box. They thought it would solve a lot of problems, and it did, but it also created problems. When you have a football team and your quarterback's making $1 million each season and your linemen are making $50,000, that's a problem. That's a team problem, right? You know, they've opened that Pandora box. I always thought, you know, why doesn't, in football especially, why doesn't USC, UCLA, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida put in five more schools like that, start their own, just leave the NCAA.
Goodbye.
We're going to make our own league. We're going to have our own rules. We're going to hire our own president. We're going to have our own TV contract, and we're going to go from there. That's what I think would happen.
Oh, don't be surprised if that happens.
I mean, I don't know why.
I mean, you look at right now, UCLA and Southern Cal, they're about to join the Big Ten. That is utterly ridiculous.
It's about money. It's all about money.
Absolutely.
And money. So, but if I'm mad at the NCAA and I'm a coach at Notre Dame or whatever, screw them. Screw them. And Notre Dame, for a lot of time, I don't know if they do anymore because they're independent. They have their own TV contract.
They have
their own marketing deals. So why not combine with the Big 15, whatever you want to call it, the best schools in the country, and we will get a better TV contract than any other NCAA can get. You know? And then we'll go on our own.
Absolutely.
We will be the Nike Big 15 on ESPN, ABC.
Steve says, sorry, change the subject. You guys see Andrew Tony from the 76ers. Wonder how Andrew is doing. I hope he's doing well. Boy, he was a treat to watch. What about playing against? Tell our young viewers a little bit about the Boston Strangler, Andrew Tony, guard from the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, well, I think 2 weeks from now, the Retired Players Association, in conjunction with the NBA Summer League, we have meetings here in Las Vegas for 2 days. We go to Topgolf. They have a golf tournament. They have a cocktail party. They have all kinds of stuff, and they have meetings. So I possibly will see Andrew here in a couple of weeks, which would be awesome. I think he's doing well. But, you know, for those of you out there that don't know Andrew Toney, you should look him up. He was a point-a-minute guy that could come off and just, you know, much like Vinny Johnson, the microwave, or Ricky Pearson, Milwaukee, you know, he was that guy that, you know, even if they didn't start, they would score 20, 25. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you start. It matters how you play and how many minutes you play. He was that guy, and he always gave Boston Celtics fits. For some reason, they didn't have a matchup for him. I think, like, a Danny Ainge was not quick enough, and a DJ was, too slow also. And, you know, so they never had a matchup for him.
Hey, Mo, let's get into some of these trades that have gone down over the last few days. And let's start with the one today, actually, that went down with John Collins leaving Atlanta for Utah. John signed a huge contract with the Hawks, and they were trying to get out of it because they are strapped for money. And Utah has plenty of money. And Collins, I think 2 years ago, averaged 21 points, 10 rebounds, and shot 40% from three. He hadn't hit those numbers in a while, but he has still put up some pretty decent numbers. Your thoughts on Collins going to Utah?
Well, like I've said for years now, right, making a trade is for a few reasons. Number one is to get your team better, right? Trying to get your team better. Number two is you want to get either younger or you want to get some experience. And number three is money. And this was a money dump. So Atlanta's made some moves. They're dumping money to get under the salary cap. And whether they're going to spend that money or not is up to them. But, you know, Utah is looking the other way. They have some good, people, some good players there that, you know, they can make a run at the playoffs, and that's what they're looking to do. And they're not afraid to, anymore. I mean, you know, let's face it, man, the guy makes $25 million a year. That's not that much anymore. I mean, people make 40, 50. So 25 actually is not a bad deal for this kid, you know, because he can play. And Atlanta gets Rudy Gay, nobody cares, and a second-round future draft pick. Come on, man. That's like a fire sale right there. Ricky, you come to my garage sale, and here's some broken golf clubs. And you know what? If you buy those, I'll throw in this broken clock for you, too.
Does he help Utah win games?
Yeah, I think so for sure. He can score. He can pass. You know, he's got length. Yeah, I think he helps them win games right off the bat. Yeah, for sure. And I think he could be one of the keys to get them into the playoffs this year. And, you know, Utah fans want to see them in the playoffs.
Right, yeah, for sure.
So that's Utah trying to get better, and that's Atlanta money dumping.
The big one, I think, is Chris Paul joining first he went to Washington, and of course he wasn't going to stay there. He ends up in Golden State. Now you got Chris Paul running the point guard position. Are you able to play Paul, Clay, and Steph together?
Well, I think you can. I mean, I was talking about, so you got Chris Paul at the point, Curry at the two, Clay at the three, Wiggins at the four, and then Looney or I guess Draymond at the five if you re-sign him. So, you know, that's a really good team. They're going to win a lot of games, but you don't have any big guys. And the problem is, I mean, you know, that's when you look at that and with Chris Paul, if Draymond signs for what I think he will, 25 to 30 million for 4 years, he wants to get another 3 years. He gave up 25, though. But so you're looking at between Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Chris Paul, that's $178 million next year. And guess what the salary cap is? $135. And guess what the luxury tax is? $168. So you're blowing that out of the water, right? So that's gone. And now they have Gary Payton II, Looney, and Kuminga. Are there only other players that are signed? You know, so, you know, they have to sign some other free agent guys and stuff like that. They're low paying. But I'm not afraid. I think Chris Paul fit in great. I think he can do whatever he wants. He'll limit the minutes of himself and Curry probably. You know, they can trade off handling the ball and stuff, but they still don't have a big. They just don't have a big. So and, what are you going to do when you play even the Lakers with AD and LeBron, or, you know, if you play Denver, you know, you don't have any size to combat that. So you got to go super small, which, you know what, super small can win a game or two, but not usually a seven-game series.
And especially when you got to deal with Denver. We just talked about how big they are. And Jared brings up something. You got to watch with Chris at this point in his career. He is not holding up for an entire year.
Yeah, so they won't play him. Chris won't play first half of the season. He's going to take a lot of games off because they don't want him for the season. They want him for the playoffs. So he's going to take a lot of minutes off. You know, they got to find somebody, because, you know, Curry's getting older and he's getting beat up and Clay has had his injuries. Wiggins was missing all last year because of personal reasons. You know, Looney's always there. Draymond usually plays, but Chris Paul is not going to play much. He'll probably, you know, take off. I bet out of the 82 games, he plays like in maybe 60, maybe. And then out of those 60, I bet he plays less than 25 minutes most of the time till the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not afraid of this. I know he gets hurt all the time, but, you know, they're gonna guard him. They're gonna bring him in for, you know, have a good season. They've already done that. They brought him in to win in the playoffs. Now they need to find a big to do that, but, you know, they're not gonna wear him out.
Hey, good comment from Steve. Minnesota was going places 2 years ago. Now I'm so confused. I think they're confused too, Steve.
I know. Yeah, I know. My buddy, my guy, Chris Finch, it's tough. I mean, they traded the farm. They sold the farm for Rudy Gobert. They gave away draft picks and players and everything. And, you know, and it's you know, he and Cat don't seem to play well together because you got two seven-footers. They're good on – they're okay on offense, but defense – we can't guard pick and roll.
When you make a move like that, Mo, that's a big move. What do you think they were thinking when they were going to bring Rudy in? what he would bring in terms, okay, we're going to get a new game. We're going to get much better defensively.
They get a rim protector, one of the best in the league, and they will go from, you know, 20th in rebounding in the league to top five. That's what they're thinking because Rudy Gobert averages 10, 12, 13 rebounds a game. So, and he protects the rim, and he can catch and finish. The problem is on defense. With those two bigs, they can't guard pick and rolls. And we know the NBA is like that. And, you know, I talked to Chris last year when this was done, and I said, Chris, if I was you, I'd invest in a 2-3 zone and put those guys, you know, on the bottom where they can cover. They're long enough to cover out to the corner shooters and then get back, but they don't have to guard pick and rolls.
Yeah. And it is just amazing how effective zone defenses have become in the NBA now.
Well, I think that's deceiving. I think the Celtics, I think Miami threw it at the Celtics, and they struggled. And then they threw it at Denver somewhat, and they struggled. But then they figured it out. They put the Joker in the middle, and they threaded it. So, you know, The zone defense is a good, you know, if you have two bigs that can't cover pick and roll, you take away the pick and roll, you put them down low, that's good. But after a while, the NBA is too talented. There's too many three-point shooters. There are too many guys that can drive and get to the lane and finish up the basket and probably get fouled, driving the gaps. And then you drive the gaps and kick it out to your good three-point shooter. So, you know, when I was with the Dallas Mavericks, our defense, you know, got better, but it wasn't great. And we would throw, the zone in, you know, for a couple, 2-3 plays and then take it off and then maybe put it on later. Because if you let an NBA team set up against the zone and put their personnel that they want in there, it's not going to work. That's why I think the NBA should just allow regular zone. Why not? I mean, but.
Bradley Beal trade to Phoenix. Your thoughts on Bill going to Phoenix?
Well, I think, you know, let's think, like, how active were the Wizards, right? They were involved at least in at least three trades. And so, you know, they gave up like Porzingis and Bradley Beal. But they picked up Mike Muscala and Gallinari, who are decent players, Tyus Jones. The 35th pick, they picked up Jordan Poole. You know, so they and they picked up like draft picks from the other ones. So, you know, I think they did pretty good. And, you know, but if you're looking at the Phoenix Suns, you know, obviously they wanted to get off Chris Paul's contract, and he's older. And like we talk about, he gets hurt a lot. So they wanted to get off him and off his contract. And this was a great, I think this was a great deal. Now, I mean, last year we thought when they got KD, they were one of the best five player rosters out there, right? I mean, you had Chris Paul, you had Booker, you had Ayton, you had KD, and then whoever else wants to throw out there, it doesn't matter. You or me, it doesn't matter. So, you know, but now you look at their roster, you know, and they got Beal, Booker, KD, and Ayton, right? That's a nice group. Do you keep Ayton happy? Because he's complaining about shots anywhere. Anyway, and guess what? When Beal comes in, you're going to get less shots, brother. I'm going to tell you right now. So you better learn how to pick and roll and dunk and block shots and rebound and be happy and try to win. Forget about points. I'm telling you. Forget about points. Win. The problem with Phoenix is, you know, with those, with KD, Booker, Ayton, and Beal, that's $162 million they have tied up. $162 million. And we know what the salary cap is. So that's four players, and they're at the luxury tax already. With four players, you can't play with four players. And guess what? They only have one other player signed.
Yeah.
So they got to fill out a whole roster of whoever's, right? Whoever's.
And Mo. And they still don't have anybody to guard the Joker. I mean, not that anybody really does.
Yeah, but you got to see them. Ayton guard him as well as anybody. Ayton guard him as well as anybody. So they have that. They need to. I can't remember his name. He's from Australia. A 7'1 kid that's 270 pounds that they should keep. So he and Ayton could kind of level that off. But, you know, that's only their spot. They only have six players. They have to have 15. They have six. That's a problem. You know, who do you fill those with?
Okay, let's see. I wanted to get your thoughts on Damian Lillard is considering.
Well, let's rewind. Let's go one more trade, right?
Okay, go ahead.
The other big trade, right? Marcus Smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Marcus Smart.
For Porzingis.
Boston and the Wizards, of course, and Memphis had a three-way deal. Marcus Smart went to Memphis. That he was a big piece of the Boston Celtics for years and years. He even dyed his hair green. Come on, man. the Celtics made that move because they saw that, you know, they lost in game seven against Miami. They should have never done that. If they would have done that, you know, they'd stay pat and add somebody and go along. But, you know, they didn't stay pat. So they needed another big, you know, Horford, you know, he's a great backup big, but he's
47 years old.
There's something about Williams III. He's active. He blocks shots. He plays hard. There's something about him. I know he's hurt a lot. There's something about him that rubbed him the wrong way. So they pick up Porzingis, who, by the way, averaged like 20 and 12 last year, by the way. So he's not dead in the water. He's not a stiff. And, you know, you put him with that group, you know, with Tatum and Brown those other backup guys they have. And, you know, that adds another look for the Boston Celtics. So, you know, giving up Marcus Smart was not easy for them, but I think it might have been the right move. Marcus Smart was the heart of their defense, so that hurts. They also picked up a first-round pick in the future and next year. and they swapped picks. They got 25th pick instead of 30th for this year. So, you know, they got something for Marcus Smart, and they went to the Wizards, who, you know, chuggled whatever they got. So,
yeah.
You know, I think Porzingis is going to help the Boston Celtics. Whether they can get past the Milwaukee Bucks, who knows, because Milwaukee has to sign Brook Lopez. They have to sign Middleton. You know, they have some other pieces they have to get, so they have to decide where they're at. You know, Philly has to decide, do we give Harden another $100 million or so, you know, and go at this again? You know, so there's some big question marks in the East.
Yeah, Middleton turned down $40 million, man.
Is that what he turned down?
Yeah, dude. And he hadn't really played in a couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, so, okay, I'm going to give up $45 million and I'm going to get $35. I'm going to give up $45 million for 1 year, and I'm going to get $35 for the next 5 years. Thank you. Hey. I mean, you know, guys are, I mean, you know, we talk about free agents. Guys are throwing away money, you know, lifetime money, if that, you know. But, you know.
Here's one from Mike Jewell. You got $200 for a 24 NBA title futures bet. Who you taking, Mo?
I'll give you a big, from Vegas, I'll give you a big heads up. I ain't taking nobody yet. You don't even know who's playing on whose team. You know, who knows? You know, I'll tell you right before training camp, you know, but I'll tell you who I'm picking odds. So, you know, whoever's the favorite, I ain't picking them. I'm going to pick someone I'm going to put my 200 on someone that's, you know, 10 to 1, you know, so I'm going to make some good money. I mean, I think the Nuggets were 15-1 or something like that.
Mike says, "Come on, Mo."
Sorry, man. Don't put any money on a bet that you don't know how many cards you get or what. You
know? Well, Buck's talking $20 million a season for 5 years for Middleton. I guess you're right, Mo. There you go, yeah, right?
They're gonna spread it out, so. You know, so that's, what's that, 200 million? I mean,
that's 100 million.
That's 100 million. So you give up 47 and you get 100, you know, why not?
Hey, not bad if you can get it, brother.
I mean, so Draymond Green passed up 27 million. James Harden passed up 35 million. Fred VanVleet passed up 23 million, you know, because they're going for years. Because let's face it, that's, you know, it's going to be Middleton's last big contract, right?
Yeah.
So what happens if next year he stays and plays for $47 million, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, I can live off that. So can my kids, so can their kids. But, you know, what happens if something bad happens and that's the end of my career?
Yeah.
Or do I want to make another $60 million?
Lopez is going to re-sign with the Bucks. I think they have to re-sign him.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
They have to re-sign. He's as important to Milwaukee's championship aspirations as Giannis is. He's not a better player than Giannis, but he's as important because you cannot win one. You got to have him.
Yeah. I mean, shot blocker, underrated defender, can make the three, fits in with the mentality. Absolutely. I mean, the Bucks need to run it back. Bucks are one of the teams that need to run it back. You know, Middleton was hurt, then Giannis got hurt. God, I hope you listen to me, Giannis. I hope you're at home working on free throws, passing, and mid-range game. Please, please.
He said he's coming back with vengeance, Mo.
Yeah, okay, that's all great. Yeah, I'm gonna come back. Yeah, whatever. What does that mean? That's the three things you need to work on, right? Three-point shooting, free throw shooting, mid-range. A game, pull-ups, don't charge, and passing. There you go. Four things.
Work on those. And as I always ask you, you're not asking him to work on things he can't do. Those are things he can do better.
Yeah, in the offseason, you need to work on things you can't do. Michael Jordan came in the league with no jump shot. He left the league when he was shooting threes. You know, you got to work on your – that's what you work on in the offseason. I mean, come on, man. If you're going to play and handle the ball, you're going to get – how many times do you get to the free throw line? 10 to 15 a game, right?
Hey Mo, when MJ came in, you guys were handling the Bulls with ease. You guys are worried about the Sixers and the Celtics, but when did you see? When did you say, "Uh-oh, something's happening over there"?
When he worked on his game, when he worked on his shooting and his passing, and started trusting his teammates. Period. Once he started doing that, you know, and they put the right people around him with Pippen and who coached and those dudes and Bill Cartwright, you know, then you know, I mean, then it fit in. But I mean, Giannis, like I said before, he's one of the most unskilled MVPs in NBA history, right? I love him, right? Competes, goes to the basket strong, great finisher, like freaky deaky, blocks shots, rebounds, dives on the floor, does all that, but he's a bad free throw shooter. He's a bad three-point shooter. He turns the ball over when he drives, and he has no mid-range pull-up. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I mean, just think if he did that, just two of those, free throws and pull-up game, mid-range game, those two. If he worked on those two this summer and then do the other ones later, he'd be unstoppable and he'd be MVP for years to come.
Well, apparently, the reports out of Milwaukee, his free throws have gotten a lot better, according to John McLaughlin.
Let me see it in the game, man. Okay.
You want to see it when the bell rang. Hey, Mo, we're running out of time here. But Damian Lillard is saying that Lillard has some interest in maybe leaving Portland if they don't do something to upgrade that roster and get somebody to run with him. And Miami is a destination. Your thoughts on Lillard?
He should leave because Portland's not going to be in the running. Portland can't fill people around you. Those days are gone, Damon. They're gone, Damian. I mean, they're gone. So go move on like everybody else does. Look at Miami. Look at Milwaukee. Look at, you know, other teams. Look at Denver. I mean, Denver needs to make some moves now. You know, Denver, Bruce Brown just declared free agency. Denver need to make a couple moves anyway. They need to make moves now, but, you know, it's time for you to leave. I mean, I love your loyalty, blah, 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 but go get yourself a ring. You know, I'm not into ring chasing like a lot of guys have done. I would have done it if I could have. I'd take a ring. I don't care if I chase it or not, but, you know, you're in purgatory. You're in purgatory. I mean, you know, look at that, Ross. I mean, so, you know, let's see. You got, you know, Denver, Dallas, Golden State, Lakers, Memphis. Here's the team. Sacramento. Sacramento Kings, man. There's the team. How well did they do? And they're $40 million under the salary cap. They can go out and get Damian Lillard. I mean, shoot.
I mean, this guy has tremendous range.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I mean, I can't tell somebody what to do. I mean, if you're happy playing in Portland, great city, you know, you're the guy, you can pretty much do whatever you want, right? You can shoot for half court if you want. It doesn't matter. No one's going to, you know, bother you. You're not going to win. You're barely going to make the playoffs. But who cares? You're going to make $200 million. By the end of your career, you're going to have $300 million. Who cares? If you're happy doing that, that's okay. But if you want to win a championship or be in the running, you can't be important. Sorry. Yeah. It doesn't work. I mean, free agency starts on June 30th, right?
Yeah. Let's hit that before we get out of here. Yeah.
Draymond Green probably re-signed him. James Harden, these are unrestricted. These are unrestricted. They can go anywhere they want. Their teams can pay them more, but they can go anywhere they want. A lot of these other guys are restricted. Teams have to do it. Draymond Green probably signing back with Golden State. Maybe not. Maybe he goes to Denver. Maybe he goes to Lakers. But James Harden, they need to decide what he's doing with them. Kyrie Irving, who wants another $100 million, is in Dallas, and they're trying to sign him back. Here's the really free agent for all these teams, Fred VanVleet. If I was Miami, that's who I'd go after. And then a big. Westbrook, no thank you. D'Angelo Russell, no thank you. Gabe Vincent from Miami, who had a terrible finals, but he's a really good player. Bruce Brown from Denver. Austin Reeves from the Lakers, but he's restricted. If I was Sacramento or someone like that, I would look at signing shooters. If I want to shoot, if I'm a team, I want shooters. Max Strus and Seth Curry are all out, both of them out there. If you need shooters to spread the floor, those are your guys. Then you got Chris Middleton probably signing back. Kyle Kuzma, Dylan Brooks, who evidently nobody wants. Draymond, Brooke Lopez. Here's another one. If I was Golden State, I don't know that they have how much money, or I was someone that needed a big, Christian Woods. Christian Woods, a 7-footer who played with Dallas, who shot block shots, rebounds, plays hard. Yeah, Christian Woods, you could probably get him cheap, like $20 million a year, really cheap. And then another Dwight Powell from Dallas who's out there. But there's some really good free agents. Like if I was Sacramento, I'm gonna go get Max Strus and Seth Curry. Now I got shooters everywhere, you know, and now we're a problem.
Mike Jones, thanks for the info. Good show. Thank you, Mike. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and checking us out. Hey, Mo, quickly, we're going to talk a little bit about it next week. But you had a road trip over the weekend.
Yeah, you know how much I like to travel, Rick. I don't like to get on airplanes anymore, guys. When I was a scout with the Mavericks, I was on the plane 20 times a month. But I got a call from the football coach at New Mexico State. He wanted me to come in and talk to his team, and he's such a great guy, Coach Kill. He's doing a great job there. They're turning that program around from the worst in football 2 years ago to they went to a bowl and won a bowl game last year, and just a great group of kids. And he wanted to talk about a couple things in life and in sports: choices, decisions, and then the consequences, because these young players. You know, the social media and everything, they have all these, they have a ton of choices to make. Then they have to make a decision, but then they have to deal with the consequences, you know, a la the kid from Memphis. I mean, you know, John Morant,
yeah.
You know, he made wrong decisions, didn't he? And he's dealing with the consequences. And the other thing I talked to him about is social media life versus real life. You know, nobody posts their failures or disappointments or embarrassments on their social media. They only post the good stuff. Well, guess what? That's not life. You know, at 66 years old, I've led a lot of life, and life is kind of up and down mostly. And it's how you deal with it. And, you know, with the social media, these kids look at somebody and they go, look at the great life. He's on a boat and he's doing this and everything is great. That's not really true. So you got to really... think about that. I have the real life versus the social media life.
And speaking of Coach Kill, his first head coaching job was at Saginaw Valley State in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
D2 school, and they did very well. They took them to the playoffs, and Coach Kill has overcome some health issues.
He had a seizure on the sidelines in Minnesota.
Yeah. He's a heck of a coach, and he has a great story.
I'm telling you, I don't know football that well, but talking to assistant coaches, they have a bunch of them, and they're great guys. I mean, really good. They won a bowl game last year. Almost everybody's back, and they have some NFL prospects. So I'm looking at them to do some damage this year, and, I just loved it. I love talking to young kids.
Yeah, we're going to get more into that. But Mo,
young men, not kids.
a great hour. I want to thank everybody for all your questions and comments. I hope I got to everybody. I think I did. One more here. Steve says, Kings are going to be better and a good show.
Yeah, they are. And here's the deal. They're under the salary cap. If they're smart, they can get a couple impact players and really – you know, they need to get they have Sabonis who's an undersized center. Maybe give him another big body next to him and maybe pick up a shooter like Curry or someone like that. And they could do some damage next year. I like their team because I like the possibility of what they can do and who they can add.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks. Don't forget, you can check us out on Believe.com, BLEAV.com. For the big fella, Paul Mokeski, I'm Ricky Hampton. We're going to get out of here. Peace, everybody. See you next time. Take care. All right. See you tomorrow.